In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Once again, good morning to all of you today. If you are visiting with us, one thing also to note about today's service is that today is actually my last Sunday in the pulpit for a little while. My family and I will be taking a sabbatical for a couple of months to come, and so as this is kind of my last sermon for a little bit, I am very eager to preach from our text that you just heard from John 10 today, because I think it's a wonderful note to be heading into sabbatical, leaving with us today. So, at the risk of stating the obvious, you and I live in a noisy world, don't we? We live in a noisy world. If you're anything like me, there's a good chance that from the moment you wake up until the moment you go to sleep, other people's voices are all clamoring for your attention. That could be the demands of family members and teachers and classmates and friends. It could be advertisers wanting to sell you the next big thing. It could be the onslaught of breaking news, which sends notification after notification to your phone. It could be social media, your podcasts, your movies, your TV shows, your books. So many ways other people's voices take up so much real estate in our heads and in our hearts, right? That's the world we live in today. And with all these voices competing for your attention, you run the risk of crowding out the one voice that matters most. And of course, that's the voice that we saw here in our gospel passage this morning, right? It is the voice of our good shepherd, Jesus. In this passage, Jesus reveals himself to us as our good shepherd, the one who wants to lead us to rich, abundant life in him, if we will only listen to his voice. I want a rich and abundant life. Don't you? If so, then one of the most pressing things we can develop is an ability to hear this voice, the voice of our good shepherd. And again, friends, as I am just about to be on sabbatical, this is exactly the note I think we should leave on. Because I also think there is nothing more pressing for us as a church, both today and always, to listen for the voice of our good shepherd. So how do we do it? How do we do it? Well, there are three things I find in Jesus' teaching that can help us today. First, we must trust our good shepherd. We must trust our good shepherd. Then we must flee our enemy's voice. And then finally, we must indeed follow the voice of our shepherd. So first, trust your good shepherd. Now, this imagery of the shepherd with his sheep would have been a very familiar one to Jesus' listeners. But let's face it, you and I probably haven't encountered a sheep in our daily life recently. Maybe you have. Let's talk about it afterward if you have. So let's just for a moment call to mind a little bit of what Jesus' listeners would have had in their minds as they heard his words here. So at night in the Middle Eastern desert, a shepherd would often herd his sheep into a fenced-in enclosure. It would be backed up against like the side of a cliff or maybe into the back of a canyon, right? That would be the enclosure for the sheep. And there would be one small opening in the fence in which the sheep could get in and the sheep could get out. And the shepherd himself would often stay in that entrance to guard the way, to guard the way. And so during the day, the shepherd would lead the sheep out to find food and water. And along the way, he'd protect them from any predators who were looking for lunch. And so the image Jesus gives us is of sheep that are totally dependent on their shepherd, and a shepherd who is utterly invested in the well-being of his sheep. That's what his image would bring up for his listeners in that day. And through several wonderful details throughout our passage, Jesus is saying that he is this kind of good and trustworthy shepherd on our behalf. So what does he say in these details? Well, in verse 2, Jesus illustrates that as a true and trustworthy shepherd for God's people, he alone is the one authorized to go in and out of the fold. In verses 3 through 4, he says his sheep will know his voice and will follow where he leads. And Middle Eastern shepherds even today will often talk and sing to their sheep. And so when multiple flocks will mingle together, a shepherd would only need to sing in a familiar tune or speak with that familiar voice, and the sheep would disperse to their shepherd. And then there's more in verse 3. Jesus doesn't just know his sheep in the abstract. I have these sheep. He knows them by name. By name. Isn't that a lovely detail? These common, unimpressive animals are known intimately and personally. They're given names. It underscores that this shepherd knows and loves his sheep. He knows them. He knows that that sheep sometimes lags behind because it has the wounded leg. He knows that sheep is prone to wandering off from all the others from time to time. The shepherd knows and loves each of his sheep. And then in verse 7, he adds another layer to his identity as shepherd and says that he is himself the door for the sheep, the way in and the way out. Remember, the shepherd would often guard the way in and out from the fold. And so Jesus is saying here, the only way for us to experience the nourishment and security and well-being and abundant life that we crave is by going through him. You might hear echoes of what Jesus would later say in this same gospel. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, this image of Jesus as the door came to life for me on a visit to my family in St. Louis some years ago. At that time, we had only one son, one of four. It was Aiden, and he was a little younger than Callan, is our youngest now. And we were at a place called Grant's Farm in St. Louis. Some of you may have been there before, which itself has animals like horses and sheep, but also like some you'd find in a zoo as well. So we were going to look at the animals that day. And toward the end of our visit, my parents, Natalie, Aiden, and I, all went to the concessions area, which, if you're not familiar with it, it's this large circular enclosure that has vendors and tables scattered throughout it. And there's only one way in and one way out. The adults, we all got caught up in talking, as adults sometimes do. And then one of us, I don't remember which one of us did, we realized in all of our talking, where's Aiden? Aiden had wandered off. So we all got up and we started looking around and realized, oh, he's not anywhere near us right now. And so everybody went, scattered, to look for Aiden. My instinct in that moment was actually to go to the entryway, to go to the way in, to go to the way out. That way he couldn't wander out and no one could take him without going through me. Big bad Kyle, right? Again, there was no door to this enclosure, so I myself would serve as the door. And you better believe that if it came down to it, I would lay down my life for my son. I would lay down my life for my son, absolutely. Now, luckily, I didn't actually have to rough up anybody that day trying to take our little man. After a couple minutes, my mom found me through the crowd and said, everything's okay, we found him, he's fine. Apparently, Aiden had wandered off after somebody who was holding an ice cream cone. Now look, who can blame the kid, right? I often go off after the ice cream cone too, you know? I want abundant life for my son. I wanted it that day. I want it still. And I would move heaven and earth to ensure he abides in it. But my experience is but an echo of what Jesus, our good shepherd, does for us. Because as we see in verses 11 through 18, Jesus himself brought heaven to earth by becoming one of us. God came to earth and laid down his very life for his sheep. In the passage, Jesus contrasts his nature with the nature of a hired hand. A hired hand isn't invested in the well-being of the sheep at all, but in his own well-being. And so at the first sign of danger, the hired hand leaves the sheep to fend for themselves. Not so with Jesus, the Good Shepherd, we learn. He has bound up his life with his sheep and said, I'll give my life for theirs. I'll give my life for theirs. You see, the Bible teaches that we have all wandered from true life in God. The prophet Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Through our own sin, we have each separated ourselves from true life in God. And by doing so, we have placed ourselves in a place of eternal danger. There are real consequences to our sin. But Jesus, our good shepherd, became the sacrificial lamb on the cross so that our sin could be forgiven and sin's power over us could be broken. When we trust our good shepherd, Jesus, his power can break sin's power in us. And when it does, we become free to hear our shepherd's voice saying, return to me. Come back to the fold. Come home. In John's gospel, Jesus would later say, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Friends, we have a good shepherd who loves us. How do I know? Because he has laid down his life for his sheep. Jesus wants to lead you into true, abundant life, a life that can only be found in him. And I think all of his wonderful imagery in this chapter is meant to persuade us of this fundamental truth. You can trust him as your shepherd. You can trust him as your shepherd. If you make him the leader of your life, you can trust him. Friends, one of the most critical things you and I must get clear about each and every day is simply this. Do I trust my good shepherd? Do I really trust my good shepherd? Your answer to that question will shape everything in your life. If I do trust him, then I will be motivated to listen to his voice and to follow his lead. Now, the Good Shepherd, Jesus, is, of course, the main figure of this passage, but Jesus also describes others who would threaten the sheep here, doesn't he? He calls them thieves and robbers. They want to snatch the sheep from the shepherd to lure them away from the fold. These thieves have one purpose, according to Jesus in verse 10. It is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Why? Because a sheep is in danger once it leaves the fold. The robber wants to take the sheep from the fold because then they'll be out of abundant life and in his hands. Jesus says that his sheep will ignore the voices of these thieves. They will flee from the voice of those that would lure them away. And so, along with trusting our good shepherd, I want to suggest we must also flee, actively flee from our enemy's voice. We must flee from our enemy's voice. Christian teaching is very clear that we have an enemy. He's often named Satan or the devil in Scripture. Scripture reveals he is openly hostile to God and wants nothing more than to draw God's people away from him. Well, the way he lures us is through temptation. Temptation. A voice that enters your head or your heart to entice you away from union with Christ, to entice you away from life with God. And one way the church has often thought about temptation is that it comes from one of three sources: the world, the flesh, and the devil. The devil himself. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And so for just a moment, I thought it would be worth it to consider what these voices might sound like in our spirits, so that maybe we can help discern them when we hear them in our souls. Okay? So first, the voice of the world. The voice of the world. This voice arises from within a fallen world. I think the world often sounds like the voice of the crowd. The voice of the crowd. You hear a voice inside you that says, well, everyone's doing that. Everyone believes that. Even if it goes against what we've learned through Scripture is actually true. So, for example, sure, the Bible teaches that sexual intimacy is reserved for marriage, but everyone sleeps together before they're married these days, don't they? Or, sure, the Bible teaches us patience and gentleness are fruits of the Spirit, but everyone knows that some people aren't exactly worthy of your patience or respect. Friends, for a Christian, morality is not determined through majority rule. The crowd doesn't get to say what's right or wrong if it goes against what the Bible teaches. For a Christian, right and wrong are decided by what our good shepherd has told us through his word, even when it goes against the crowd. But the devil, through temptation, likes to confuse us with the voice of the crowd to lure us from following Jesus. So that's one source of temptation. Second, there is the voice of the flesh, the voice of the flesh. This voice arises from our own fallen nature. The flesh often sounds like the voice of your own cravings. You hear a voice inside you saying something like, I need to have just one more drink, and then I'll be able to settle down for a good night's sleep. I need to place just one more bet online, and then I'll sign off. That's what you hear inside, but the reality is, no, you don't need to take one more drink. You need to read a book and go to bed. Or, no, you don't need to place one more bet. You need to disable your account and get a new hobby. See, the truth is, God made us to experience deep longings and cravings and desires in our lives. And when these are aimed at good things, we find deep delight and satisfaction and pleasure in them. We were made to experience that. But we have an enemy that likes to get us twisted up in cravings, to get us chasing after things that lead us away from abundant life and toward destruction, things that are not ultimately life-giving in Christ, but are life-depleting away from him. So to follow Jesus, we must grow in avoiding the voice of cravings that tempt us away from abundant life in Jesus. The world, the flesh. And finally, there's the voice of the devil himself. And I think the devil most often sounds like the voice of distrust. Distrust. We hear a voice inside of us saying, can you really trust Jesus? Is the shepherd you follow actually good? It so often happens in times of pain or suffering or trouble or need. We hit a moment of crisis and begin to doubt the trustworthiness of our shepherd. We begin to doubt whether Jesus is truly good. And friends, this is the voice of the devil trying to draw you away from the core conviction you need to follow Jesus. That he is in fact worthy of your trust and that he indeed loves you. The devil wants to rob you of that assurance in your soul. But remember, the devil is full of empty promises. Only Jesus satisfies. The world, the flesh, the devil. A key way we grow in the spiritual life is by learning to recognize temptation for what it is. Not as harmless voices to entertain, but as our enemy's direct assaults on our souls. To recognize that he wants to draw us from our shepherd and lead us toward destruction. But friends, this morning we know from John 10 that the only way to life is to follow our shepherd's voice. The only way to life is to follow our shepherd's voice. In this passage, Jesus tells us that we can know his voice just as a sheep would know its shepherd's voice. How does that happen? Well, I want to close by offering some practical advice for how to hear Jesus' voice. so we can be led to true and abundant life in him. First, my suggestion would be, turn down the noise in your life. Turn down the noise in your life. I mean, I started by observing that we live in a noisy world. I think most of us would agree with that, that there are so many voices that bombard us from day to day. I mean, have you ever tried to talk to someone you love in a crowded room? Of course it's hard to hear them, and it's frustrating to try, right? No one is going to turn down the volume of your life for you. You must choose to limit what you watch, to limit what you read, to limit what you click, to limit whom you follow online, who you hang out with in real life, etc., etc., etc. Only you can do that. Of course, what this looks like for each of us will be different, but what I'm saying is if you want to truly hear Jesus' voice, start by taking active steps to turn down the noise in your life. Create more times of silence, space, so you can actually maybe hear from him. Next, I say open up your Bible. I know these are simple things, but it's good to be reminded of simple things sometimes. Open up your Bible. We believe God reveals himself to us through the words of the Bible. He still uses its words to speak to you today. So we should read our shepherd's words often. And we can pray as we do that the Holy Spirit will use these words to speak to our lives today. Be open to the idea that Jesus wants to address you now, here, through these words. As you do, pay attention to words or ideas or images that come alive to you and ask God how he might be calling you to respond. And by the way, as I say this, I'm calling you to read the actual words of the actual Bible. John Mark Comer is great. He is not the Bible. N.T. Wright is great. He's not the Bible. Lancelot Andrews is great. Augustine is great. They're not the Bible. I'm calling you to read the actual words of the actual Bible. People like that, leaders like that, great pastors and teachers can help make these words come to life to us. But what really makes them come alive is actually reading the actual words of the actual Bible, right? Through this, God uniquely speaks to us. Now, it's also the case that our ability to hear God's voice through his word can grow as we incorporate a couple of other disciplines like prayer and confession. In prayer, we ask for God to help us grow in our trust of him and to resist temptation by the power of the Holy Spirit. What do we pray in the Lord's Prayer every week? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hopefully you pray it every day. It's an important prayer for the Christian life. And in confession, we can acknowledge when we do, in fact, give ourselves over to evil, give ourselves over to sin, when we stray from his voice, and we can ask for his grace to draw us back into abundant life in him. If you take up these practices, prayer and confession, in this way, over time, these can shape our consciences to learn to hear the words of our Good Shepherd more fully and truly and deeply in our lives. And friends, lastly, we need each other to hear our shepherd's voice. We need each other to hear our shepherd's voice. We need to journey together with other sheep who are also seeking to hear Jesus' voice and follow his lead. In my own life, some of the times I have grown most are when other mature Christians spoke a word of insight or a word of challenge or a word of encouragement to me. And through their words, I believe Jesus spoke a shepherding word to me, called me into deeper life, led me in a different direction in my own life. And that's why the local church is so important for our formation. We need other sheep who know us personally and are invested in our lives to help us hear our shepherd's voice. We need that. And our brothers and sisters need our voices in their lives as well. That's how God's designed his flock. Remember, Jesus is not merely our good shepherd as individuals. He is the good shepherd of the entire flock that he's called unto himself. We belong to one another just as we belong to him. So as I head into sabbatical, friends, with all this in my mind, I do this with a deep conviction that Jesus is our good shepherd. He's our good shepherd as a church. And he will keep leading us toward flourishing if we will only listen to his voice. You probably know that the word for pastor is the Latin word for shepherd. I've been thinking about the fact that one of the chief responsibilities for those of us with the privilege of being called shepherds, pastors in the church, one of our main responsibilities is simply to help us together hear our good shepherd's voice more clearly and follow his way more faithfully. I pray by God's grace over the past 7 years, I've been able to do that, however imperfectly for us. And I recognize I'm about to set aside my responsibility as pastor for a season of refreshment and renewal. But friends, there's good news. Our good shepherd never sets aside his responsibilities. He's always on the job. And so whether I'm on the job or not, Jesus always is. And he will continue guiding and directing us toward abundant life in him if we will let him. So Cornerstone, trust your good shepherd. Flee your enemy's voice and follow the voice of your shepherd. If we will, he will lead us to abundant life here, today, and forevermore. I'm going to ask Claire to come forward. And before we move forward in our service, she's going to sing a song over us now. And my invitation to you is simple. We don't have a lot of space in our lives to have silence, to have reflection. We're going to make it for you here. And as she sings and plays, I'm going to invite you just to listen and see if your good shepherd has anything he wants to speak to you today in our service.